Well, praise Jesus. Glad y'all came here today. Before I get going, you know, I see a few new faces out here this morning. And on the back of the, in the front of the church there when you come in, and on the back little tables over there, there's these books, Praying the Word. And they're free. It's a book that I wrote, put together, just to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you. If you know somebody that needs one, don't worry about, don't be hesitant to take two or three. If you want to, you got somebody you want to give them to, take them, enjoy them, be blessed. Amen. All right. Well, get your Bibles out. And if you would just kind of throw them open there for a minute, just look in there and just wherever it falls, it'll be good. Cause I don't know where I'm going just right now. I'm not worried about y'all getting bored, because the Holy Ghost always takes the message and turns it around, and I just have been preaching the same thing, it seems like forever, but it's important. I want you people to know that you are VIPs, that you are very important people in the kingdom of God. If Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, if you know that 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 you know, 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 that if you died, you're going to go to heaven because Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Well, then I want to tell you something. You are a VIP. If you don't know that, and I just now told you something you didn't know, or you're watching by video or listening by audio, and you just now learned that, that you're not really sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. Well, then the Bible's real simple. It says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, commit your life to Him, then you know what happens? You become a VIP. Amen? A very important person. You have gifts, and you have power, and you have anointing, and you have things that are God has given to you. But most Christians in this world walk around and never ever walk in what God has really called them to do. Most Christians walk around, they have a moment of their life and a moment of time that that their heart is touched. It's pulled by the Spirit of God, if you let me say it. The Bible says God draws men to Him. And there's a moment in time each and every one of you have experienced, you've come and God has drawn you closer to Him. Your heart says, man, I do believe in Jesus. You know, the song Amazing Grace is written by a man that was a slave trader. And, you know, it was through all of that experience that he had that he turned and he wrote that song, because his heart was turned and pulled towards Jesus, right? And when that happens, what most Christians do is they just stay right there, and they don't even walk in it completely, but they just stay right there and say, well, praise God, and when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But folks, listen, there's a world, God's world, that He wants to bring down into your life for the blessings of God every day to help you to walk through this life and still walk in victory. Now, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. I know life's not always easy, and sometimes things are not right. Sometimes things, you don't do anything in life, but you get in trouble. Some of you do some things in life and get in trouble. But you know, some of us, you know, you just, I mean, you know, sometimes bad things just happen. We live in a fallen world. And I am determined to teach and to preach and to spend my life telling people that God is good. He is not bad. He's not sitting up on the throne, wanting to put cancer on people, wanting to kill people left and right, wanting to cause car wrecks, wanting to cause all this trauma to see if you'll really serve Him. That is a bunch of bunk, man. Don't believe it. It's bull. Everybody say it's bull.
Bull.
It's bull, man. I'm telling you, it ain't right. It's wrong teaching, wrong doctrine. Comes from the pit of hell. And if you ever hear a preacher preaching something like that, you just can say, you don't need to get mad at him. You don't need to write him an ugly letter. Just say, man, he got his sermon from hell this morning. All right, so I want you to know that you're VIPs. I want you to know that God has got giftings in your life. All of you are called to three, at least one of three things. And I've been saying this over and over. I'll say it again this morning. Some of you are called and you have gifts, and just like the singer is helping me this morning. It takes a certain style of person to go up there and sing with me. You got to have patience, because sometimes I don't even know where I'm going. You have an opportunity to be embarrassed because, you know, I don't always practice and so I'm not always perfect. And so, you know, I mean, those guys have got to be ready to flow with me because I don't know what verse I'm going to sing at what time and where I'm going to go. It takes talent to do that. Above and beyond regular singing ability to play and sing with me. Anyway, some of you are called. Some of you are called to just have your smiling faces right there at the door to greet people as they come in. Some of you are called just to be ushers. Some of you are called to whatever. There's certain things that in the church that you're called to do. Others of you, your greatest gift that you have is that you have a multitude of friends. You have friends everywhere and that you can invite them to come to church. I mean, that is a gift. You have people that you can say, hey, come on and go to church with us, and they'll come to church. That is a gift. That is an anointing. That is something from heaven that you have. And then the others of you, the other type of blessing that you have in your life is some of you have the ability to call somebody else and say, you know, I was just praying for you this morning, and, you know, I'm telling you, God's got some good things for you. You need to just keep on going. You need to just hang on. Or maybe bake some cookies and take over to somebody's house. Don't bring them to mine, but take them to somebody's house and bless them. And just say, you know, I don't know, I just want you to know God loves you. Because you see, that's a discipler. You're helping somebody and encouraging somebody. That's the root of being a disciple. You're going out there and you're helping somebody else in their walk with Jesus. And so we're all not the same. We're all not called the same, but you need to know that the gifts and the callings and what you walk in when you perform those is pleasing and heaven rejoices. You want to excite Jesus? Well, then just do what you're called to do. You don't have to do anything else. Just do what you're called to do. And I tell you, heaven gets excited. Heaven rejoices. So I've been going over these things and I can't go over all of them again or we'd never get anywhere. But about the things that you have the power to be, okay? That you have the power to walk in as Christians. When you've made that covenant with God and walking in those things that you have the power to do. And what I got on a few weeks ago was about you have the power of prosperity in your life. Listen to me. God does not want you poor. Another false teaching in the church has always been that God wants you to be poor. God doesn't want you to be poor. If you're poor, you need help. You can't help anybody. God wants you to be humble, yes. He doesn't want you to be proud and arrogant, yes. But poor don't make you proud. Poor doesn't make you humble. Poor makes you desperate. I've been poor. I've been broke. It didn't do nothing for me. It didn't make me more holy. I actually prayed one time and I said, Lord, if riches come from the devil, then tempt me. Tempt me, Lord. Pour out the blessings of God. Pour out the blessings of this world. Whatever. Make me rich and see what happens. You know, it's kind of a stupid prayer, but I mean, at the time, you're poor. It hurts. It's not easy. All right? But God has a way. God has a means of working in your life to bring prosperity in your life so that you can be prosperous. I've talked to you about that the Bible says that you're really supposed to be philanthropist, that you're supposed to have an answer for every man. You're supposed to have, an answer maybe to buy a shirt for somebody, buy some pants or help this battered women's shelter or bless Casa Angelina and, you know, do whatever. I mean, if you don't have anything, any resources, it's hard to be a blessing. Right? And see right then, I just heard right there, just like I just heard somebody say, well, yeah, but I don't have much and I'm trying to be a blessing where I'm at. Exactly. But I want to help you to increase. Don't stay where you are. Do not listen to me, church. Do not settle for where you're at. The minute you settle, then you know what happens? Dust starts to come on you. And you just get complacent, you get apathetic. Listen, you should always be striving in your finances to prosper so you can give more, so you can establish the kingdom of God more. You should always have something, a rat hole, a sock drawer, a something that you have some money stashed inside of it, stuck back, So you're just saying, man, just show me what to do with that because I want to be a blessing. And I want to get into that in just a minute. You should always be stretching yourself and increasing. Because if you don't, then you're getting complacent. All right? So we talked about the power of prosperity. We talked about three things that you have to understand about prosperity. The first one is you have to understand that God is a giver. God is good. God gives. He adds. He multiplies. He does not subtract and divide in your life. God wants to add in your life. Do y'all believe that? He wants to bless you. So you got to know that God's a giver. If you live in that, like I said, that reality of God may have done this bad thing to me. You go outside and your tire's flat and say, oh, well, God probably did that because he wanted me to be at work late. No, you probably just run over a nail. I mean, sometimes in life, things just happen. I mean, my Lord, don't be so hyper-spiritual that you've turned everything into, it's either the devil or God did it to you. I mean, you may have just run over a nail that fell out of the back of somebody's truck. Well, the devil did it. He got in. No. I mean, you can't live like that, church. You have to say, I'm going to be blessed and I'm going to go on. It's the challenge is the flat tires and how are you going to act? But the other day, I was kind of having a fit. Pastor has a fit every now and then. Some of the old man and the old nature was rising up on the inside of me and I was having a fit. And I was driving down the road and finally I stopped and I said, Lord, I really want to be a Christian. I really do. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be full of doubt and unbelief. I don't want to gripe and complain. Lord, I really want to be a Christian. Come on, Holy Ghost. Get on me. Devil, get out of my mouth. I mean, I just had to just talk like this going down the road. Man, in a minute, I started to laugh, and I just, man, it's really kind of amazing. I can't go into the whole story, but, man, I had a God dream that night. God blessed me, delivered me, set me free, changed my life. It was amazing. But I had to come to that place in life that I was just, because that's what happens to all of us, Lord. I mean, things are frustrating. Have you ever just had those Mondays that wouldn't quit? Well, it just may be in the cycle that you're in. It doesn't have anything to do with the devil has amassed a demon horde at your home. He may have, but cast it out and go on. All right, here we go. So then the second principle I told you that you got to get in your life is you've got to get the principle of tithing in your life. I'm sorry. I laughed at last week. I couldn't hardly get away from the church of people coming by here and say, I've got to be gone next week. And just know I really have to be gone. I want to be at church because I said, if this isn't your house and this isn't the church you're called to, you need to leave. And so people were standing over there just waiting to tell me, well, really, I don't. When you're looking, I'm not there. It's not because of that. So it was kind of funny. I'm glad people were listening. Glad y'all are here this morning. And so you've got to get the principle of tithing. Like Tracy said, go back and listen to the message because God said some things through me that day that I didn't even have written down, and it was really good. So I want to go to the third principle, okay? You got to understand, if you're going to walk in prosperity, that God is a giver. You've got to understand the principles of tithing. And the third thing is that you have to understand the principles of sowing. Okay? Sowing or giving offerings. You have to understand this. There's a difference between tithing, tithes, and offerings. There's a difference. The tithe is the first fruit, 10%, the first fruit of what you've earned. Okay? That's the tithe. Tithe means a tenth. Okay? Offerings are something that's above and beyond what your tithe is. All right? Now, tithing, according to what I showed you last week, according to what the Word of God says, tithing brings about a covenant with you and God, opens the windows of heaven into your life, and keeps back the destroyer. Okay? But offerings is where you're planting seeds for a harvest. The tithe secures you, but the offerings, they bring in the abundance. Are you following me? Tithing over here is not an offering. Tithing is tithing. So when you give your tithe and you put it in the offering bucket, that opens the windows of heaven in your life for opportunities to come, and it keeps the destroyer away. But when you sow offerings, it's going to bring back an abundant harvest. Now, you got to understand something. I grew up farming and ranching all my life. It's a pretty simple thing. You put seed in the ground, and if it rains, there's the big if. But if it rains and the seed was proper seed, proper, has all the ability to germinate and to grow in it, then if you put it in the ground and it's good ground, it will produce, it will grow. And you will get more back than one seed. Can you imagine a farmer that would be crazy enough to take seeds and plant one seed in the ground, knowing he was going to get a crop of one back? Think about that for a minute. You're not going to put one in the ground just to get one back. You're putting one into the ground to get more back, right? You plant one corn seed, but you get an ear of corn that has lots of other corn seeds on it, and it has multiple ears on the plant, right? And that's the whole concept of farming, is you want the best seed to grow the best plant to get the most amount of seeds back so you prosper, huh? Nobody wants to farm so you can go broke. Although I went broke farming. But nobody has that mentality. You sow the seed to reap a harvest, right? You've got to think about your finances like that. Now let me show you some things here. I don't know why I'm into threes here, but there's those three things you got to understand. God's a giver. You got to understand tithing. You've got to understand this principle here of sowing, okay? And then there's sowing, because if you're doing a little nice little outline there and taking notes, like you should be, there's three things you have to understand about sowing. All right? Listen, I'm going to say this, and then let me finish before you shut me off. There is, just like tithing, you tithe in the house, the church that God has placed you in. If God hasn't placed you in this church, you shouldn't be tithing to this church. If God hasn't placed you in this church, then my question to you is, why are you here? Okay? You should know that this is your church. This is your home. This is the people you want to be with. These are the people you love. This is where your roots are planted. Okay? Well, the same principle about sowing, you have to understand that when you give, all right, the first thing you have to understand is that you have to give out of obedience. You see, there's a lot of good things in life. There's a lot of good programs. There's a lot of people doing a lot of good things. But you've got to hear what God is telling you to do for you. You've got to be obedient in doing that. Are y'all with me? Because, listen, I don't want to be a warlock. Because there are warlocks out there. They use the name pastor, but they're nothing but warlocks. And they spin their webs to try to get you to give them money so that they can do what they want to do to just prosper themselves. And all that is manipulation and witchcraft. Y'all with me? That's all it is. I'm sorry. You know, there's a lot of programs. You should check out just naturally anything you ever give to, because there's a lot of programs out there that you sow into that program, and they spend 80% of it on administrative fees, and maybe 20% of whatever you give actually gets to the person. That's why the water hole, I stood up here and we started the water hole, and I guaranteed you that I wasn't going to do anything but make sure that your money got into the gospel. I've never taken a salary out of the water hole. I've never taken any money for myself out of the water hole in the past 10 years. Everything I do on my own. And I want to make sure that if you gave to the Living Waters House, that I see, you got to understand something. I'm pretty, whatever you call it. And when you give to the water hole, I don't even give that money to Ivan. I don't send it to his deal. Not that I don't trust Ivan. I have it set up in the bank account directly into the orphanage, and we wire transfer that money out of the account directly to Casa Angelina in Guatemala as a wire transfer, and we keep account of everything. Then they give me a sheet and account of where the money's spent, And I have an account of all that down there. I want to make sure that everything's right. I want to make sure that I have to look you in the face. Pat gave me $100. I want to be able to tell Pat, I spent your $100 on paint. I mean, it's in the mix, but I want to say, I know it was there. You follow me. Because I don't want to be a warlock. I don't want to manipulate you in any way in finances, because I understand that in giving, you have to be obedient. And if you gave, you should have given because Jesus prompted your heart to do it. He touched you and said, I want to do that. Do that, do that, do that, do that, do that. And so then, man, I'm answering to Jesus. You follow me? So go to Luke chapter 5, verse 1, and let me show you this. In Luke 5, 1 is probably one of the greatest scriptures, that something that you need to get sealed in your heart. I'm going to start reading verse 1. It says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and he taught the multitude from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out to the deep and let down your net for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, well, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless,'" everybody say nevertheless. "Nevertheless. He says, 'Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.'" Peter had already washed his nets up. He had already cleaned his nets. He had already put up everything he needed to do. His tackle was put up. I don't know about you, but if I'd have sat there and washed them all day and had it all ready, got all the salt water off of them so they wouldn't, you know, deteriorate, and then you're going to go back and you're going to go get them in the water. I mean, you know, there's having to be some obedience there. And Peter said, "Lord, nevertheless, at your word." It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not going to get mad about it, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Folks, listen to me. That's the way you're supposed to give in when you're giving your offerings. "Lord, I don't understand what this is, but nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to do it." Do not be manipulated by people. Do not be milked on your compassion. Do not be, pulled one way or the other. You give because you're being obedient to know that that's what Jesus has told you to do. Hello? Because it's going to end up into the next thing I'm going to get to, is you got to have faith in it. I've been duped. Somebody's pulled on my heartstrings. You know, they pulled on my heartstrings and I gave. And I just let it go. And I knew I was just giving out of my head, not out of obedience. I mean, it's still a good thing. But it wasn't. I knew it wasn't going to be where my harvest was coming back from. I just said, "Okay, well, God bless them." Now, I've tried to be manipulated before. I almost got in a fight with a preacher one time. I said, "Man, I ain't going to give you nothing. So what you're doing is wrong." And we like to went to Fifth City over that. Acting like a couple of girl Christians, you know. But the point was, is I knew that it was not right. I knew it was manipulation. Okay? You have to understand obedience. You're obedient. Listen, you think the money that you got is yours? Well, yeah, I earned it. The very breath in your lungs, the Bible said, belongs to God. See, we get too high on ourselves. I mean, really? We think what we've done. Now listen, I believe, just like anything, God is a budgeter, if you'll let me say it that way. He's pretty good at accounting. And I kind of believe it like this. God knows that, you know, he says, because go look at the Lord's Prayer. He said, you got to pray for your daily needs. He knows you need food. All right? He knows you need food. He says, he knows you need clothing. Thank you. Okay? He knows that you have these you know, natural needs. Because like I said last week, ain't none of you going to live without money. All of us have to have some money. I don't care who you are. You got to have some money to live. right? You're not going to get away. If you did, please tell me, but I hadn't figured it out. So you've got to learn to be obedient with the seed that you're supposed to be sowing. Because that's your harvest coming in of blessing. You've got to look at your money, your dollars, as seed. Okay? You've got to look at the money that's in your pocket, in your checkbook, and in your bank account. It's seed. There's a certain amount of that that's just seed because you're sowing seed to bring you in a harvest. You say, well, Pastor, I thought that's called investing and they're supposed to, you know, go in stocks or whatever. You can put your money in that if you want to. I put mine in the kingdom of God. I mean, maybe you're smart enough to handle and run with the world, but I'm not. Okay? Jesus said, you better watch out, because if you put your money in all the things of the world and that's where you're expecting your harvest to come from, he said, better watch it because moths eat things up and rust gets on stuff. It's my paraphrase, but that's what he said. Okay? So, you've got to understand obedience. You need to learn to hear God's voice in your seed that you're sowing. All right? The second thing you need to understand in this principle of sowing is you need to understand faith. Because you can't give. Why would you give to something that you don't really believe in? I mean, that don't make no sense at all. Don't give to something that you don't have faith into and that it touches your heart because you've been obedient to know what Jesus told you to do. See, years ago, and I've told this story, but I'll tell it again for time's sake so you all know where I'm at. We don't have to go anywhere for lunch today. It's just right over there, so you don't have to worry about the long drive to the cafe. You know, when I was in construction, just in constructing churches and constructing, you know, buildings for and it was, I was all focused 100% upon just church and church services and telling people the gospel. And that's all I had done until Ivan and I, God hooked us up together. And then, you know, he started talking about orphans and I was like, I don't know, kids, you know, I don't know. Kids make me nervous. And so, you know, it just didn't really seem to be anything in my heart until my grandson was born. And when my grandson was born, my daughter had difficulties in delivery. And something was wrong, and we knew something was wrong, and she'd gone into the hospital. And so we were praying for her, but you know, generally what to pray for, but you don't know everything to pray for. And so you're just praying like this. And so, you know, yeah, you know, things are changed, you know, when I was in labor room with my wife in those days, you know, it weren't really supposed to be, but I was so crazy. The doctor told me just to get me in there to maybe calm me down. And so when my daughter's having her child, I was the same way. She wanted me in the room there with her because she wanted me just to be praying for her. Well, you know, I don't pray quietly. I don't pray silently. And, you know, it was in this room, and then they had this little, like, deal you pulled across, and there was, like, a little, you know, a couch and some stuff over there, and you could kind of be closed off from, you know, in the room where she's delivering the baby. And so, man, I'm praying. I'm like a wild caged cat in that up behind those accordion doors, you know, and I'm praying, oh my God, Jesus, help me. And I knew in my heart something wasn't right, but I did not know what to pray for. And so I was just praying and praying and praying and praying, saying, oh God, something, you know, because she'd gone into labor and she wasn't supposed to be, and it was just, you know, whatever. And so the doctors had put her on bed rest, and we'd gone through this whole trauma anyway. So it comes time for the delivery. And, you know, it's one of those deals where she wants me to be in there with her, and I would rather be over there locked up praying, you know. And so finally the nurse, the doctor, asked my daughter, did they need to get me a sedative, you know, because I was I was radical over there, you know, because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is life. I mean, this is my first grandson, you know, coming into the world. And so, man, I'm praying. I'm speaking life and shouting and declaring and praying in tongues and everything else. And they're all just like, oh, my God, he's crazy, man. And so, I mean, I don't care. It's my grandson being born, right? I mean, you ain't going to deny me, you know, I mean, this is a trauma situation. So anyway, so I noticed the doctor as the baby's being delivered, as Holt's coming into this world. I noticed her face, and I just looked at her face, and I said, oh, God. Because I saw her face just changed, and then the mode of everything changed, the room, and everything got real fast and real hurried, and she began to bark orders at everybody, and I said, oh, God, something ain't right. And so she gets Holt out, and she just hands him off to a nurse, and then she's working on my daughter, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, something ain't right, you know. And so, man, you know, now I've got, you know, Mac truck prayer coming out, man. I'm praying, man. And so I come over there, and I lay my hands on my daughter, and I'm praying for her, and, you know, and it's all traumatic, and so then I walk around my daughter, and I look at my grandson, and he's in there, and he's just lifeless. And now I'm going to get choked up after all these years. So anyway, man, I was like, no way, this kid's dying. And I just screamed as loud as I could. I said, Holy, in the name of Jesus, you live. And he kind of startled like that. And I said, hey, man, I got a reaction. Of course, the nurse is like, oh, God. And I said, I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, you'll live. You'll not die. You'll declare the works of the Lord. I declare, you know, and I just tear into this whole thing. Spit flying everywhere, you know. And man, all of a sudden he starts to snap out of it. And he'd gotten hung up in the birth canal, and he'd been in there too long. And, you know, it was all kinds of trauma in there. But I go back to my daughter. Now I got him going, and I go back over to my daughter. And the doctor's just got this bewildered look on her face. And she said, I don't even know how to explain this, but your daughter's placenta had completely torn. And it should have killed the baby. But it has dried blood on it that it has grown back together and had begun to heal itself. She said, I've never seen that ever in my life. And so I just said, well, it's because I pray. Bless God. We're praying people. We believe in Jesus, and Jesus does it. And, you know, she was just like, well, hell, whatever. So that moment of that time and that with that child changed my life, changed my heart, changed my thinking. All of a sudden, then God began to put, I began to have my heart changed. You see, God used that situation to begin to direct me in what he wanted me to do. I had to be obedient to it. I still, even to this day, when I get surrounded by, you know, the 100 children all jumping on me and wanting to hug me, I get a little bit freaked out because I'm not, you know, and so I just go along with the flow and just, you know, but it's still not natural to me in that area. Oh, but I love to see their face. I love to see them get blessed. I know I there's joy in it. You see, I know I'm being obedient, but God used that situation to move me into the place to where I was supposed to be and what I was supposed to be giving and what I was supposed to be doing. So therefore, I have great faith in what I'm doing. So when we're needing to repair the living waters house, I have great faith that God's going to send in the finances wherever because I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You've got to have faith in what you've sowed that God is going to be blessing it and is going to be bringing a harvest in there for you. If you don't, you're handicapping yourself. Okay? You're cutting your leg off and trying to walk around and make everything work out right. You've got to have faith in it. Okay? Now, which brings me to the third thing that you've got to understand here, okay? You've got to have faith. You've got to have, and understand the sowing and all, you've got to have faith, but you've got to understand also that there are seasons to sow. There are seasons in God. Listen, I'm finding all kinds of seasons. I didn't know I'd ever be 50. I'm learning the season of 50. Some of you say, 50 ain't nothing, we need to get to 60. Well, I ain't there trying to just get along with this season of 50, okay? But there's a season. There's things that I'm learning that I didn't know you walked through. All right? So, you can just write this down. You don't have to turn there. But Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. God said, he's setting about. He told Noah, he said, look, I'm setting about seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, and it shall not cease. I mean, have y'all ever thought about it? When we have a winter, you know there's a fall coming, right? I mean, there's a fall that's going to come, and then there's a winter, and then there's going to be a spring, and then there's going to be a summer. I mean, it's going to happen, folks. You can't sit in the middle of winter and say, oh, summer's never coming. Summer's going to come. It's set about in the course of time. It's set about by God. Seed time and harvest is going to happen. But you know that it has to happen. It has to get cold so that the ground can be prepared. Certain things can die. Certain things can happen. So that when spring comes, other certain things, it has to take place. You may not like summer, but you know, and you really love winter, but you know, you have to have it all. You have to have the package because it's the way things work. In your life and in your giving, you have to understand that there are seed time, giving time, and there's harvest time. You can't just sow a seed. You couldn't have given last Sunday and have expected an immediate hundredfold return today, in a week. I mean, if God so did that, yes, but I'm talking about in the natural course of God's seed time and harvest. You've sowed seed, the harvest is going to come. It may take some time to grow some you know, the seed to grow. You know, in your life, if you've just started being a giver and just started sowing and just started tithing, it's going to take a little bit of time for God to get all the finances lined up in your life and get things going and start heading your direction. I've been sowing and giving for 30-something years. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. We actually, after we got saved, just were just inclined that we just needed to give, and we had no church to sow into. We weren't in the church. And so we just found a church and just sent some money. Then we sent money to televangelists that was on television that we liked, because that's the only place we had to get fed. That's where we knew we needed to give. We knew we needed to get seed in the ground. But after all these 30-something years, now I'm finding harvest and harvest and harvest and harvest and seed time and harvest. And my operation, if you'll let me say, my giving operation has gotten larger. It didn't happen totally overnight. Although I can stand up here and tell you I have never, ever gone hungry. One time, Dwayne and I had to pull our money together, and we got two Cokes and one candy bar. But I didn't go hungry. I did have half of a candy bar. Okay? I mean, I've been that broke before. My family's never gone without a meal. We've always been blessed. We've always, and my life and my ministry and our businesses and all has grown year by year by year by year by year. Grown. But I'm a giver. My wife's a giver, man. My children are givers. I taught them. I said, man, you ain't going to succeed in life unless you start giving. Okay, but you got to give in obedience, and you got to understand your season. All right, let me read this to you. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Hope I'm helping you this morning, not just boring you to tears. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Kind of getting the idea here? There's a time for everything. There's a season for everything. You need to know your season you're in. You may say to me, well, Pastor, I'm in the desperate need season. Okay. But we need to get out of that. I need to help you move along with that. I need to help you not freak out, not do something stupid. Don't make your situation worse. You know, if you have a hole in your boat, let me help you to repair it. Don't dig another hole. Right? You know, I, a lot of times on television, I'll flip over and I'll watch the show Cops. I don't know if y'all watch Cops. I'm amazed at how stupid people are. Some guy will run, you know, like run from the cops, and you know they're trying to make a just a routine stop for some reason, and they'll, this guy will get in his car and he'll just tear off and run and go through this and almost kill everybody in the world, and they finally get him stopped, and he runs back to his house and they, you know, throw him on the ground and handcuff him, and what's the matter with you? Why are you doing this? He said, well, I wanted to get my car back to the house for my wife. What? The other day they stopped somebody and said, well, my driver's license expired. I'm like, now you got a felony charge on you. Are you that stupid? You just added to your whole situation, you know? Folks, when you're in trouble, you don't need to make the situation worse. Hello? And a lot of times we do that. In our finances and in our lives, we actually end up making the situation worse. If you've got financial troubles, don't start a fight with your wife. Don't ask her, where'd the money go? Number one word of advice right there. Never ask, where'd the money go? Don't do that. That is, the next thing coming after that is the fight. There is not going to be any discussion. No accounting book comes out that shows you where it all went. The fight ensues instantly. Okay? I'm just telling you that. I'm giving you good advice there. You know, it's like if you see a hole, don't put your hand in it. Okay? If you don't ask where the money went. Okay, now I've lost my train of thought. To everything, there's a season. You got to find the season. You got to know the season you are in, okay? Now, go to Galatians chapter 6. Just a couple more scriptures here, y'all. Just hang with me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians 6:7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For when he sows to his flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Okay? We're going to reap. There's a principle, just like dropping that pencil. You cannot sow in obedience to what God has told you to do and in faith that you are not going to reap. I told y'all in a message a while back that God had prompted me to do, to put it to practice and document it. And I took $5. Because I knew I was hearing God telling me what to do. I took $5 and I sowed the $5. And then within 5 days, I got $100. A guy walked up and gave me $100. Said, I just want to give you this. And I got the $100. And then I took the $100 and I sowed the $100. And it took 10 days after I sowed the $100 that I got $1,000. And you say, oh, yeah, but you're a pastor and you're out gathering money. No. Nope. Not one person gave me the money had anything to do with the church. Because I live another life. I was out in the world. Didn't have nothing to do with the church. Not a church person. Wasn't taking them an offering or nothing. Didn't tell nobody. Never said anything about offerings or nothing. I'm just living just like a normal person on the face of the earth. You say, well, that's just crazy. No, you got to understand something. I have my faith there. I've been doing this. I learned how to dig myself out of a hole years ago when I was so broke that I couldn't even see which way was up. I was so down. Folks, listen to me. It was bad enough that I went broke, that our family lost their business and we lost everything we had, but we went in debt huge. We didn't just go broke and everyone said, okay, it's all over with, just go away. We were in debt. And God bailed us out. God did miracles. God did signs, wonders, and everything to get us out of that deal. And I learned the principles of sowing and giving too. That's what I live by right now today. Sowing and giving, sowing and giving, sowing and giving. I'm always looking at my crop to see how much seed I've got in the ground or what's going to come back. I look for opportunities to give and to sow. Now, some of you are saying, yeah, but you know, you don't have that much money, whatever. No, no, no. It has nothing to do with your money. It has nothing to do with the amount of money you give. He said, well, I don't understand how that can be. Go to scripture here. I'm going to jump ahead of myself. Mark chapter 12. It has everything to do with obedience, faith, and understanding sowing what I'm just saying to you about. You're putting seed in the ground, you're going to have harvest come back. Doesn't have anything to do with the amount of money you give. And right there, if you just said, oh, great, well, then I don't have to give as much as I did. I'm going to get you next week if you'll show up. I'm going to hang you on that one. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41, it says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and he saw how the people put their money in the treasury. Now, in those days, they had a box. And the box was sitting there in the church. And people walked by and put their money into the box. Now, can you imagine Jesus? There's the box. And Jesus goes over like this. Watching everybody give? Would that freak you out or what? He's sitting there watching how much money every person puts in. Oh, okay, here. What is that? Oh, okay. Oh, here you go. Person's walking up there. Don't you know that they were, had the willies? And so he says, then one poor widow came and threw in two mites. Two mites is like two pennies, which made a quadrant. And he called the disciples to him and said, surely I say to you. Now he's got the disciples up there. He called his disciples to himself. He's still standing there. Hey guys, get up here. I'm going to show you something about giving. This is Jesus doing this. This is crazy. That's just like we pass the bucket right here, and then he gets it and goes through each one of y'all's envelopes and looks to see how much you gave. You'd be sitting there saying, what is he doing? And who's this? Somebody didn't sign this one. Who gave this one? He's got all the disciples up there. He said, look, look, look. Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow put in more than all those that had given in the treasury. But they put in out of their abundance, and she put in out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So the giving is proportionate to what you have. It's not giving as of what you think is a big number. In other words, everything is proportionate to you. When I grabbed hold of this revelation, it changed my life, because if I could just give a quarter, then I was excited, because I knew that in my relation, I wanted to give more. But if a quarter was what I had to give and I gave it, that it was just as equal as somebody over here that maybe gave $100 or gave $1,000, depending on what was their status. And so, wait a minute, that put it all equal. And so then that meant I could receive a harvest of just as much as they received a harvest. Because you see, God doesn't look at it as your dollars being one seed. Oh, well, if I sowed 100, but then, you know, I sowed 5 and ended up with 1,000. Do you see what I'm saying? God took the $5. I was embarrassed to give the guy $5. Because you can't get anything for $5 now. You used to $5, you could buy a meal for two. Can't even get a corn dog somewhere. Y'all with me? There's a whole other story to this thing I had to get in sometime about that $5 I gave that guy. But anyway, it's proportion to what, where you're at in life. So you can rejoice and say, Lord, man, this is great, because that means if I, listen, folks, I'm not a tightwad. Don't think that when I say this, but I'm always looking for money. I'm not greedy, But I'm always looking for money. I find pennies, nickels on the ground, quarters here and there, whatever. You know, I check the, if I walk by a payphone, they don't have them too much anymore. I used to really get money out of those things. You know, I walk by all the time because I'm just looking for somebody that's foolish enough to leave money laying around because I know it's seed. If I can take the seed and put it in the ground, it's going to bring a harvest back for me. And then I want to have more money to advance the kingdom of God on the face of this earth. And that's what it's all about. I'm not so worried about how one of these days I'm going to get to retire. I'm so worried about that when I get to heaven, I want to see what I've done with my life, what I've taught y'all to do with your lives, what my family has done to advance the kingdom of God on the face of this earth. I want to see what the wealth and riches that I've sent to heaven, because I want to tell you something, you cannot take it with you, but you can send it ahead. I'm telling you, you can't take it with you. You can pack your coffin full of gold, but it ain't going to do you no good. But you can send it ahead by sowing in the kingdom of God so that it's advancing, people's lives get changed. You can do that. Some of y'all just looked at me when I said that like I was crazy. I'm telling you, it's the truth. You can send it ahead. He said, Jesus himself said, man, why don't put your money in heaven where the moths and the rust ain't going to get it. Well, how does that happen? Well, that was just a spiritual allegory of this or that. Don't tell me that. Don't go down that road with me. I'm telling you, you can send it ahead. You can be a blessing. All right? But you've got to have that kind of mentality. Hey, you guys have got some big blessing because you blessed us. You blessed us. So the blessing came on us, and you sowed seed in the ground. Don't lose it. Don't say, oh, I just wanted to be nice. No, I'm never nice. I'm never just nice because I just want to be nice. He said, well, that's horrible. You're a terrible person. No, I'm not. I have a concept of sowing and giving. I have a faith in my heart that when I'm a blessing. Now, there's things in life sometimes that, you know, I just help somebody. But I'm saying if I have to deal with money, I'm thinking about where that money's going. I'm thinking about the sowing and the reaping. I'm thinking about the blessings coming about it. Because I know God's going to take it. I don't care if it's 5 cents. It's going to make something for me. And I need money. I'm in the business. I need money. Listen, there's one thing I'm not ashamed to talk about. It's money. Because I need money. I don't make any bones about it. I want to rescue as many children as you possibly can. I want to build as many buildings as you possibly can. I want to preach the gospel over the radio all over the place. I want to do everything I possibly in the world can do. I want to blaze into heaven. I don't want to get to heaven and they had to say, now, who are you? I mean, I don't want to have to try to get out the double checker for the book to see if I'm in it. Right? What's your name again? Is they going through the records? I don't see. What? Who? That to happen. The Bible says that heaven already knows who you are. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them standing in the streets of gold right now already know who you are. Great cloud of witnesses over there saying, well, you just came out today, sit in the stands and watch the other going to do today. I'm not crazy. I'm telling you the truth. I want to walk down the streets and I want to be known in heaven for what we've done here at Living Waters Church. I want people to get excited that we're from the church at Ephesus that we think was pretty good because they got a letter written to them. They're excited to talk to y'all. You went to Living Waters Church? Oh my God. You were a member there? Wow. When I'm looking at it saying, reading the book of Ephesus, saying, wow, what would it have been like to been in Ephesus in that day when they did all the big fire and the book burning and the revival and all that took place. Folks, all I'm saying is you got to get your head screwed on straight. You got to get to knowing what the Word of God says. You got to get down into your heart about sowing and giving, and do not let the enemy steal from you. Do not become apathetic in your life. Understand what season you're in. Understand there is a season for sowing and a season for reaping. Do not get discouraged. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged that God knows who you are, that He's on your side, that the things that you've done in life, that you are blessed, that there's blessing, there's a field full of goodness coming your direction. Know that you know, you can get a greater concept of it and get it more down into your life. But I'm telling you, you be excited today. Amen. You're hearing some good news. You're hearing some good words. You're hearing some things that'll change your life and set you free. Amen. And listen, if Jesus has told you to do something, then know by faith that you're supposed to do it. Don't be concerned about it. Don't let anybody witchcraft and talk you out of it. Hello? But, you know, sometimes people, I've seen some people do some pretty stupid things in life. And so, you know, don't get hoodwinked. Don't get duped. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, "My God, this is the best thing I've ever heard today. My Lord, changing my life." It'll set you free. It'll set you free. Next week, I'm going to get into what, you know, the thing is, and I'll just prime you on this so you can come back and get ready. And everybody always says it's money that's the root of all evil, but that's not what the word says. The Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And we're going to get into that. I want to show you the difference in what we're, and how to distinguish that real quickly in your life. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Can I have my prayer team come down? I want to pray for you, but I'm just quickened here about something. Everybody just bow your heads and close your eyes, because I don't want to embarrass anybody, and so I don't want anybody to know. But if this morning you're really in a financial pickle, you're really in hurting for some money, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that this message is synced in your heart, and that God can show you a way out. And so if that's you, just lift up your hand and say, "Yeah, Pastor, that's me. Oh, that's me." Okay. All right. All right. I see hands going up everywhere. Okay. Just put them down. I just want to make sure I was right. If nobody raised their hand, well, then I know I was just completely, you know, just overwhelmed with hunger and need to go eat. So church, listen to me. I want to pray for you. Those of you that raised your hands, just listen to me. You've got to understand this principle. You've got to get it in your heart. You need to start with what you've heard, and you need to start putting that into your life and applying it to your life. You need to start trusting in Jesus and not just say, "Lord, send me some money," because seed time and harvest, you have to sow seed in order for money to come in. God may have some way to make some kind of a temporal blessing or a temporal reprieve come, but you've got to get a harvest growing. You've got to get your vegetable garden going so you can eat off of it. Okay? And so you've got to start. But I want to pray for you that God gives you the wisdom to know where to start. So Father, right now, those that lifted their hands, those people that are in financial problems, financial trouble, I just pray for them right now, Lord. I just pray that you just begin to touch them and bless them. You begin to help them to understand these principles that we've been talking about so that they can walk in the power of prosperity. They can walk in that power, Lord God, and walk in that victory. And so, Lord, I just ask you right now to open up their eyes of wisdom. I rebuke the spirit of poverty off of them. I declare, devil, you cannot lie to them anymore. You cannot take and steal from them anymore, because it says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. So I declare the abundant life upon them. I declare that they'll get their finances in order and that victory is theirs. Lord, I declare it. I praise you for it. I thank you for it right now for delivering them from that situation and putting them on the right track. Now, Lord, I pray for everybody else in here right now. I just ask you to put your hand upon them. And that, Lord, that as we've talked about finances, we've talked about the power of prosperity, that you cause us to be prosperous people on this earth. That, Lord, you give us wisdom and opportunities to see everything that we need to see, wisdom to do everything that we need to do. That truly we become vessels of your spirit, Lord, hands to do your work and mouths to speak your word. That we can go out into this world and that we can be a blessing. That we can advance the kingdom of God on the face of this earth. Lord, I thank you for these people. I ask you to put a special blessing on them, Lord, right now. And we give you all the praise for it, and we give you all the thanks for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, church, listen to me. We're down here to pray for you. If you need anything, if you need prayer, we're down here. Don't leave this building without knowing Jesus. One of these lovely people up here will tell you all about how good Jesus is. Be a blessing over at Dinner on the Grounds. Go sit with somebody new. Go greet somebody. Go make a new friend today. Go find out how awesome that other person is that you didn't know. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm going to do that. So I just declare right now that all the food's blessed. The hands that prepared it are blessed. Everything is great and glorious. And so, Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.